Welcome to the sixth Super Coach Coach preseason podcast. I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And this week, we're going to be talking about the Rocks. So we got a couple more shows before the first lockout. Of course, we've got two games on the first split round weekend. So the other show that we're going to be doing before the season opener is a show on the four teams that are playing. Mark, who are those teams?
West Coast, Fremantle, Essendon and Adelaide.
Yep, thanks for that. And also we're going to be doing the rookies, which of course are pretty important to look at in terms of team structure before the season kicks off. And then in the week before the final lockout of the season, we're going to be looking at the last two positions. So that's the midfield and the forwards. So that's the lineup for the rest of the preseason. A lot of content to get out in a short period of time, but the website is finally out, so we can focus on doing podcasts, which is actually a pretty nice change, Mark.
Better than coding, mate.
Yeah, well, better than me coding. So just before we get into it, just want to plug the website again. Remember to sign up at supercoachcoach.com.au. We'll be giving out $1,000 to the winner of our cash group, and you'll get the code upon activation of your account. And the other is, Mark, every week we're going to give away $100 to the best article submitted on our website. So we've had a little bit of activity on there already.
We have. We've already got some pretty good articles posted up there.
And we'll have the voting on that in the coming week. So stay tuned to that and participate and get into it. So
we're rewarding our community.
We're not going to spend too much more time on that. We'll get straight into the footy. Mark, in the Rocks, I think the first major point of discussion and really something that's changed things up completely, and as things generally are with Supercoach preseasons, as a spanner in the works, late in the preseason, Matthew Leuenberger, Mark, he is probably not going to make round one.
No, unfortunately not. We would love to have seen more than a quarter of footy out of him. Would have been great to see him in the NAB Grand Final, but apparently he has re-injured his Achilles. Not seriously, but definitely a setback. That's at least meant he's missed training for a few weeks, set him back. I think he's still some chance for round one, but given the fact that he has shown that he could get it re-injured, he seems unlikely for our teams, which has been very frustrating because he's been in my team the entire preseason. So I've built my whole team around having a $300,000 ruck, and there doesn't seem to be any more. So if he's named round one, I can understand that people might take him, but given the fact we've had no exposed form, a bit of an interrupted preseason, you know you'd probably be a bit negative on that.
Yeah, and I know we've got 30 trades this year, so it's going to be bang, 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 big points all the way, I think. No more time to be carrying these sort of limping ruckmen into the season. So, yeah, probably a no for me. You know, at the start of the preseason, I thought this was going to be the easiest season ever for picking rucks.
We got Leuenberger.
What are you talking about? Leuenberger, Goldstein.
Everyone was on Goldstein.
Yeah, set and forget, and things have changed very quickly in a short period of time. So, we're going to be looking at Goldstein, of course, this podcast, and as well as the rest of the options. So, Mark, let's start with the one player that you just talked about, Dean Cox. Is he probably the set-and-forget guy now that there's so much uncertainty around most ruckmen? And I don't think he's missed a game since 2009.
Yeah, and then didn't miss any in 2008 either. Absolutely. I think we spoke earlier in the year about our locks, and I had him locked down in my forward line because I thought that was a great option as a good chance to be the top-scoring forward, him or Buddy. But now, with uncertainty around the rucks and Leuenberger opening up a spot, yeah, I think I'm going to start him into my rucks now and pick more value in my forward line rather than through the rucks. And there's a good chance that Cox might end up in my forward line over the course of the season, but yeah, I think I'm going to start him into the R1 position.
Yeah, I think the great part with Cox and a few of the other options that we might talk about is that with the ruck forwards, and they're playing Sol Ruckman, they should get about 110 PPG if they're quality picks. And 110 or even 105 points per game in the forward line should put you pretty close to the top six scoring forwards available. So the great thing about a pick like Cox is that even if he doesn't end up in your ruck division, it quite easily end up in your forward line. You bring in 110 point per game ruckman into your team at any point throughout the year, and it probably makes, you know, upgrading a lot easier than having to target a guy like Cox, whose price point's probably going to stay really high throughout the year. So I do like starting a player like Dean Cox on the team, and considering all the options out there, I think most high-scoring player you can start in your team is probably Dean Cox.
Okay, now Sandilands might have probably been the one person that could challenge Cox for that, but Sandy is out. Who knows how long it's going to be? There's some talk that it might be round 2, 3, or 4. Nick Nat is another one that might have been able to challenge Cox, but suffering from a groin issue over summer. So who knows when he's going to be back? There might be people that you can upgrade to at some point, or you might even be upgrading to Leuenberger when you move Cox forward. But do you think that Ivan Marek is the one fit high-scoring ruckman left? Do you think that he can challenge Cox scoring-wise this year?
He certainly could. You guys know me by now. I love finding value in every single selection that I pick, if possible. And in my eyes, I think Marek is either going to stay the same or drop off a little bit.
Seems fully priced.
Yeah, and you tend to see when a player first moves to a club, the first year is quite inflated, and it's really hard to back that up again. And I know that seems pretty far-fetched because, you know, you had a good season last season and it's your first season at club. Doesn't mean you're going to have a bad one the next, but you've seen it a lot. I remember Marty Matner a few years ago. The first year at a new club, it's just pretty hard to replicate that form. So on that basis, I'd probably prefer to pick another player who I see more potential for improvement from.
Yeah, I think I disagree with you on a reasonable amount of that. Just because he's a ruckman, they take a bit longer to mature. He's 27 years old now, so it's pretty standard that they might actually take that long to actually get into that high scoring ability. He's still going to be the number one ruck at Richmond. If Vickery can stay fit, Vickery's going to mainly play forward and do a little bit of rucking for him. And he's shown, even though he's missed a lot of the preseason with a groin injury, he's actually shown in the NAB Cup that he can easily score those 130s still. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Marek actually did come out and average about 113. Again, my main concern would be that you're tying up an awful lot of money in that player, and as Marcus has said, he doesn't exactly present a whole lot of value. It's not like he's going to average a lot more than 113. So with that said, I think that you could probably get a slightly better option at a cheaper price.
Sounds like you just agreed with me. Brilliant. All right, next player. Ben McAvoy from St Kilda. Now, he's one that's got me a little bit interested.
No way. I'm looking at St Kilda as the wasteland of fantasy football this year.
I think that's probably the only issue, but unfortunately it's a rather large issue that, yes, he is playing for St Kilda Football Club. But we've seen in the past that when you play in the ruck division, the team you're playing for doesn't really count as much as maybe a midfielder, where like your team really needs to be doing well to earn the points. But with a ruckman, if you can beat your ruckman opposition, it doesn't really matter as much how the rest of the team's going. So from that perspective, yeah, he's just got a lot of natural improvement left in him. Mark, what season is he playing now?
We're up to season number 6, mate, and he's about 24 years old. So that's a pretty good age for a high draft pick ruckman. And he has shown the ability to consistently get over 100. Probably gets more of the ball than a lot of the other ruckmen. Doesn't rely on his hit out so much. So we'll get a bit more around the ground. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year with Tom Hickey, who they've recruited from the Suns and they paid quite a lot for. There was talk yesterday that Cozzy might struggle to make the senior side this year, and so if they're playing Hickey and McAvoy, I wonder whether McAvoy maybe gets parked forward that little bit more, which might affect his ability to score so well.
My one question is, Mark, do you honestly believe that McAvoy's scoring could go down from 104 this season?
Tough question.
I know you don't want to say yes.
I don't. You're right. I don't want to say yes. It seems unlikely that it would actually go down from 104. There are a few reasons that could cause that, but
so on the basis of that, does that make him a pretty decent selection considering the options out there? As much as St Kilda is a fantasy wasteland, as you put it.
He did struggle to stay on the park last year, but if he can stay on the park this year, he has shown the potential to score reasonably well.
Swung him!
Not someone that I've ever had in my team, but I can kind of understand why you'd pick him, and he went very high in the Supercoach draft that we had the other week.
Yeah, and look, his contested marking's so great, and like I said, it doesn't matter how bad St Kilda is doing, he'll just pluck the ball out of the air and get it anyway. So, to be honest, I think he's a pretty decent selection, but I also don't mind the next one, Mark, and that's Patrick Ryder, who I've been on all preseason. But Mark, you haven't been quite as keen as an Essendon supporter, which has been disappointing, and I think today you're about to eat your words.
Potentially, mate. So basically coming off exactly the same average as McAvoy. McAvoy entering his 5th season, whereas Ryder's entering his 8th season. Paddy started off the season with a bang last year and then actually got injured, which he's been known for his durability, which is a reason I'd probably take him ahead of McAvoy, because he has had very, very good durability before that. Last year was his highest average of about 105, but I can see him potentially going 5 points higher than that, being really consistent, kicking plenty of goals, and maybe I'm a biased Bombers fan, but I can see him actually being in for a big year, and maybe at the start of the NAB he just wasn't taking it too seriously.
My issue with Ryder is probably, unlike McAvoy, he's not going to be playing that number one role. I'm pretty sure Tommy Belchamer is finally going to come in as your number one ruck. I think you've mentioned that already in
yep, the past few episodes. Yeah, but I think that Ryder's a much better forward than McAvoy is.
The reason I bring that up is because McAvoy playing as the sole number one ruck, whether or not Ryder's better than the forward line or not, has a high chance of scoring 115, or averaging 115 for the year. We all seen what Marich did last year. We've seen what people can do in the number one ruck spot. We know how valuable that is to Supercoach points. Unfortunately, Ryder's not going to get that chance. So his high scoring is going to be coming from playing as a forward and pinch hitting in the ruck. And we all know that gives you really good, consistent scoring because you manage to notch up points in almost every scoring category, which is fantastic. But in terms of scoring potential, I don't see Ryder breaking past really 110. I think 110 would be really good price at 105 and with the ruck forward eligibility, but I probably don't see him getting to 115, whereas McAvoy can see potentially getting to 115.
I think you're really underestimating the Hickey factor in that Hickey's not a natural forward, neither is McAvoy, so basically they're going to have to share the ruck work a bit rather than just be like a number one ruck like McAvoy, like Marek was last year, where he just took all of the ruck work and sort of didn't rest forward quite so much. Yeah, that silenced me. You are right, Mark.
I still got to ask you, though, Mark, do you see Ryder breaking past the 110 barrier?
I think it would be more hope than anything to say that, but I think he can definitely improve on his average. He can be extremely durable and play out the season, and if the Bombers improve a little bit, he can improve it a bit, and the mid-forward, ruck forward eligibility just gets him across the line because I can park him in my forward line if I need to.
I just think potentially, and I'm not saying that's a thing to do, but you could probably look at other options where, for example, Mumford, who we all jumped on last year, that we're going to talk about the pros and cons of, but just picking a number one ruck gives you the potential of a higher ceiling. Anyway, moving on to another player in a similar mold in terms of
Supercoach eligibility and playing style, really, and that's Jared Ruffett. Mainly a forward, but plays a bit of ruck during the season. Be interesting to see what role he does play this year. We've seen him at centre-half back in the preseason. We've seen Grimley, Bailey, Hale all share ruck duties for the Hawks, so it'll be interesting to see exactly what role he does play. Supercoach aside, who do you reckon is a better player, Ruffett or Ryder?
I think Ruffett had a better season than Ryder last year, more valuable to the team, but I think in terms of room for improvement, I think Ryder's probably the better one.
Okay. Because Ruffett's a much better forward, but Ryder's a much better ruckman, I would say.
I'm only basing this on physical attributes. I think Ryder's more blessed with better physical attributes than Ruffett. In terms of that assessment of where the players are at currently, that's probably correct.
Well, what about Supercoach-wise? Because they did average about the same last year, and Ruffett was coming back from an Achilles injury, so didn't have the greatest sort of lead-up and still managed to post 103.7 average. And I remember going to the footy with you last year, and you're like, yeah, just watch Ruffett. Just every game, he just gets it done. He just gets those points from somewhere, and he'll get to you to 100. And that's pretty much what happened.
The only issue with Ruffett, I think, is I worry about Hawthorn a little bit. I don't really think there's any room for improvement in terms of the Supercoach pie that they get week to week from 2012 to 2013. The only possibility is that it goes down. And they have so many stars in that team. And as things are year to year, positions will change up a little bit. Injuries will occur. There's just a little bit more uncertainty. I think watching how well Hawthorn performed last year and how well Ruffett performed last year really doesn't seem like there's too much more that he can score. And that's why I brought up the Ryder ceiling thing, is just based on that position, you're still spending a lot of time as a key position forward. It's just, I struggle to see him going to a 110 ceiling. To me, it looks like 105 is Ruffett's sort of ceiling. I may be proven wrong, but based on that, I'm not as big a fan of the selection. I think Ryder tempts me a bit more because I see the room for Essendon to grow. And like I said, I like his physical attributes a bit more than Ruffett. But he had a good season and Hawthorn had a good season. So it's hard to pick him this year. And that's just because I look for value all the time.
The next player we want to look at is Sam Jacobs from Adelaide, who played a couple of seasons with Carlton. He's now been at Adelaide for two seasons, played 21 games last year, averaged 101, very much took on that number one rucking mantle. They've got a really good set up for ruckman at Adelaide because they'll have a Jenkins or McKernan type in the forward line that'll just pinch hit and Jacobs will ruck almost all the game. So that sort of gets back to what you were saying about McAvoy that he's just going to be the number one ruck and just going to spend most of the time in the ruck, and that's going to give him an opportunity for a higher ceiling. And I think people looking at him as durable, there's been talk about him possibly resting at some point this season, but that might only be a game or two, or maybe subbed late in the game. I don't think you can really pick just based on that. But a lot of people looking at Sammy Jacobs as a safe option. What do you reckon?
Yeah, to me, really, like, and I know you say you can't pick really on that because you don't know who's going to be resting on that, but I think Sam Jacobs, considering the ruck load and considering how much his coach talks about his ruck load, seems like a certainty to be rested for mine. But the main thing is, I've watched Jacobs from a while, Mark. Do you remember when he was at Carlton? We picked him as a rookie. Do you remember back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then watching him going over to Adelaide, I've just watched him enough and I sort of feel like, yeah, that's sort of where he is. He's a good tap ruckman, but in terms of his ability to gain possession around the ground, his effectiveness around the ground, I'm not necessarily sure of how much more improvement there is left in him. I think he might have another 5 points per game, but I don't think you're going to see Jacobs bust the AFL open. And
he's, you know, not the next Marek?
Not for mine, no. But I may be proven wrong. Ruckman take a while to develop. Maybe he's not fully in control of those massive long limbs that he has, but for mine, just based on what I've seen, I'd prefer someone with better control of their limbs or more freaky natural attributes.
A bit like Ryder, I guess you're saying. And I can definitely hear that point. I find Jacobs a very uninspired choice. I find it difficult to barrack for him, and that shouldn't probably affect my decision because we're playing a numbers game here, but it does for some reason, and I'd rather pick a Ryder or a Marek that actually looks entertaining to watch.
Oh, you become emotional in your old age, Mark.
No, I've always made it very clear on the podcast that I do take that approach because it's a long season and you have to at least like the people that you're barracking for, like Mr. Cloak will not be entering my team at any point.
All right, Mark, now one, the guy that we talked about before, Todd Goldstein's next on the run sheet.
He averaged 113 2 years ago, and he's priced under 500,000. McIntosh has left. He's played 21, 21, and 20 in the last 3 years. Why are we not all over this guy?
Goldstein is like Jacobs, but without the ability to tap as efficiently.
Just doesn't get the ball around the ground, he's saying.
And that's why when you hear Brad Scott talk about him, he refers to his 2011 season and says that was going to happen because we had to give him X amount of game time. How much did he ruck? Pretty much all the time, right?
Yeah.
But when you have that much time to ruck and get around the ground, it's only natural that you rack up a fair amount of points. And that
but
was
he didn't.
Last year. Yeah, he struggled last year when he had competition from McIntosh. And that worries me, the ability to not back that up. And even this year, how is his spot even under threat from Curry? And I understand Curry played a good preseason, but you're the number one ruck there. This guy's drafted as a backup for a backup. How can you let him push you to the seconds? He might turn out to be a good pick, and that's why we're still talking about him now. But I just find it hard to pick a guy that loses his spot to a backup of a backup.
That is definitely a concern. I think once you get to the real stuff, you'll find that Goldstein probably is the number one ruck. And Scott has said that he probably won't play Curry and Goldstein in the same team, which means it is a bit one or the other, and Goldstein doesn't really get injured, so you'd think that they'd like to give Curry a chance at some point, you'd think.
Like you said, Mark, he's going to take that number one ruck mantle. It's probably like a boot in the bum during the preseason, like, hey, lift your game, look at how well this kid's doing. But, like, let's be realistic, he's probably going to play number one ruck and get a lot of game time.
He had 52% game time against the Hawks on the weekend, scored 79 Supercoach. That's pretty good output, really. I mean, he had average 7 possessions last year. There's talk of that he just doesn't get used through the new style of Kangaroos play and the way they're linking out of the back line. So I think there's enough concerns not to pick him. But given his durability, I can understand why people are still on this guy. And once he gets to the real stuff, he could surprise us and go back to average over 100 again. So I don't think he's a terrible selection, but just too much uncertainty over his role for me, and it has not been a good preseason for him.
Yeah, well, that for me, it's just gut feel that's turning me off. But if I really look at it, will Goldstein, do I think Goldstein's going to get majority game time? Do I think he's under threat from Curry? No, not really. So you pretty comfortable with him going to average 100 points per game, Mark?
I'm not comfortable with him averaging 110, that's for sure, because
but 100?
He'll be in my team. It wouldn't surprise me if he averaged 100, yeah, like to get back to that sort of level.
But and 105?
it's difficult to predict. That's what I meant, but that there's so much uncertainty about Goldstein, especially with North having a much more difficult draw this year than they did last year, and he wasn't able to score with their easy draw last year. So,
but a few of his scores were McIntosh affected. I think, look, and he didn't get consistency in the amount of game time that he was able to play, like in 2011. I think if you look at it, like, will he improve to a level between 100 and 105? I'm actually pretty confident in saying yes. But to me, I'd rather pay for a guy who's averaging 100 that has a chance to go up to 115, or I'd rather pick a player that has ruck forward eligibility. And the bottom line is, I don't want to pick a guy who's had a preseason like he's had. But if I look at the numbers purely and solely, it really doesn't look like a bad selection.
Yeah. A next player that I do find a little bit more inspiring is Matthew Caruso. Like,
yes, the Cruz.
Number one draft pick. He's now into his sixth preseason. I think he's had a much better preseason this year than he's had in the past. He's definitely had durability concerns.
I'm getting hyped up, Mark, because if he turns out well, I sort of want to claim him. Yeah?
He is that sort of guy. He's a big breakout contender. He's exactly the sort of guy that if you get him on at the start and he goes on and averages 110, you can be like, yeah,
And we got 30 trades this season, Mark. I'm liking this number one draft pick, playing under a new coach. And do you think Robbie Warnock will play? He's not going to play with Cruiser under Mick Malthouse, will he?
I think that that's actually Cruiser's biggest concern. Warnock was only fit for 5 games last year, and Cruiser's 2 lowest scores came in those games. At the moment, I think from the NAB Cup Grand Final, we saw that their preference is to play Hampson, but Hampson wasn't exactly dominant in that game. Struggles a little bit. The reason being, the Cruiser's going to play in the middle. Hampson will play mainly up forward as a pinch hitter. If Warnock plays, then Warnock's going to have to play the number one ruck because he's not great up forward, and Cruiser's going to have to spend more time up forward, which will lower his scoring. Uh-huh. So I think that that would be the biggest concern I have with Cruiser. If Warnock was not in the picture, I think that Cruiser would be an absolutely brilliant pick for this year.
Okay, so let me just clarify, because if I hear right, the worst case scenario is Warnock comes onto the team and Cruz plays forward, pinch hitting in the ruck. Didn't we just talk about Ryder and Ruffett?
Cruiser is not as good a forward as either of those guys.
But he's entering his sixth season, so we've got to talk about potential here, Mark.
I don't think he's even potentially as good a forward as those guys. I think he is probably a better rover than both of those guys, but I don't think he's a good a ruckman as Ryder or a good a forward as either of them.
But he averaged 92 last year.
Yep, he could definitely improve that to 105 or so. And when we're looking at value, I think that Cruiser presents a lot of value going into the season. The uncertainty to do with ruck rolls, again, is the issue, the main issue for me. But don't get me wrong, he's definitely been in a few of my draft teams.
Yeah, I like that he's a number one draft pick.
You did mention that.
Yeah, I do like that. I like that he's had games where he's shown a lot. Like, he scored, you can see how high his ceiling is.
He definitely has shown the ability to score over 120 on a few occasions, but he's also shown the ability to get a lot of 60s as well, and that can be a lot to do with
the Carlton on the improve.
That could be a big factor. Uh-huh. I think you definitely want to get a couple of Blues into your side if you can. So that
claiming it.
I guess Marcus has decided his ruck position is done.
No, it's tough now that Leeuwenbergen's out. Everything's out the window, and my team's all in chaos again, but Cruiser is one of the front runners, if I'm being honest, and that's because I get suckered in by value.
You don't think that the recruiters that took him at number one could maybe claim him rather than you putting him into your Supercoach team this year?
Mark, all right, hold the podcast. Let me have a little bit of glory, all right?
So why is Cruiser better than Shane Mumford? Because Shane Mumford has a previous scoring history. Same year that Goldstein did it, he averaged 112, has shown a very high scoring ceiling. Yeah, Jesse White seems to approve this year, so it'll be interesting to see where the Pike plays, because I think if it's White and Mumford, then Mumford will do a lot better. So why wouldn't you be picking Mumford? Because he's about the same price as Cruiser.
Because unlike Cruiser, Mumford has actually screwed me before. No, I'm just kidding. Partially true because of the injury history. And Mark, you can tell everyone about his interrupted preseason.
Yeah, about a month ago, he picked up an ankle injury and missed a few weeks of training and has only played one full game in the NAB where he got 85 Supercoach points and played a quarter as a sub in another game. So that was just easing him into the season. But he does have GWS and the Suns in the first two rounds, which looks pretty juicy.
And which football club picked up this fatty from the middle of nowhere and now...
Don't bring the Geelong.
Yeah, see? Right? See? Come on. I'm a supporter. I'm allowed to be bitter. to be honest, it's just the injury history that has me a bit concerned.
And the fact that you have such a bitter taste in your mouth from last year. It's a bit hard to get over that.
And suspension history. Let's not forget that too.
Never played more than 19.
Yeah.
So Cruiser versus Mumford.
Cruiser! Claiming it.
I'm the same boat, actually. I've had Mumford in teams in this preseason. If he hadn't have had that ankle injury, I think I would say Mumford, but
I would have started him, no doubt.
Okay, I would pick Cruiser at this stage.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to a bomber. How do we feel talking about some more bombers?
Yeah.
Another player entering his sixth season, just like Cruiser, just like Mumford, and he's a little bit cheaper as well. I think he's about $450,000. Tom Bell Chambers, he's about to assume the number one ruck mantle, and I'm pretty sure that you said that that was important. He averaged 85 last year, showed when Ryder wasn't in the team that he could really score really well. The preseason this year has just been incredible for Bell Chambers, and he really has stepped it up, and he is clearly the number one ruckman at the Bombers at the moment and will definitely be given a shot at that. He hasn't shown the ability to score massive, but he's definitely shown the ability to score above 100. So I noticed that there are actually a lot of draft teams, including Bell Chambers this year, because they've come from Leuenberger, they want someone value, they want someone cheap, and Bell Chambers is potentially providing them that option.
Tell me about his NAB Cup, importantly. I think it's very important with a player like Bell Chambers.
Pretty sure, this is just from memory, that he's scored over 100 at least two out of three games that he's played, and he's looked really, really well. I think one good thing about Bell Chambers is he's actually a pretty good forward. He's a good kick for goal. He definitely takes a mark when he goes forward, and pretty good around the ground, and he can get his hands on the ball. So positive signs for Bally, I think.
The fact that he's in tandem with Ryder has me a bit concerned, obviously. The fact that he doesn't have particularly attractive natural attributes has me a bit concerned. I think he's
pretty tall, man. I've met him in person a few times, and I refused to get a photo with him because he made me look very, very short.
Yeah, I mean, everybody we're talking about here is pretty tall, buddy. I think it's the speed addition to the height or the agility.
That natural attribute.
Yeah, in terms of height, he's got that covered, but that's the only thing I can see that particularly stands out. So that's the main concern for mine. I'm not too sure about his ceiling relative to the other options out there. I'd much rather pick someone who went as a number one draft pick.
Bit more talent there, you reckon?
Yeah.
No, you're probably right. So Cruiser, Mumford, Bell Chambers, you have them basically in that order?
No, I think Bell Chambers ahead of Mumford.
Okay, interesting.
Just the ankle injury has me concerned, and we all know how physically demanding the ruck game is, so interrupted preseason compared to an excellent preseason, as you've put it, for Bell Chambers. So I'll give him an upgrade mark.
Next player we want to look at is, now when Leuenberger's gone down, there's a lot of people looking for value out there. There's a couple of ruck forward value options in Stephen Martin and Josh Jenkins. I'm not quite sure that they're going to score enough to be taking one of your rock positions. It'd be quite nice if Stephen Martin was sort of maybe a bit cheaper, or that if I thought that he could score enough to take that role, but I don't quite think that he can. So the best mid-price option that looks like going around is Zach Smith from the Gold Coast. They brought in Primus as an assistant coach this year, and apparently he's taught him a bit of grunt. He actually dropped an average of about 10 points last year, went from 78 to 69 the year before we all had him, and he was really good for our teams. Failed to score over 100 last year, though, and I can see him having an improved year. I know you love the mid-priced ruck options, Mark.
Yep. I think I can answer this question pretty simply and pretty quickly. Ruckmen take a longer time to develop, so pass.
Is he not a bit older, though, because he was like a soccer player or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
well, he's... I'd take Cruz or just... I'd rather more games in the AFL. He hasn't even... What's that, 50-game apprenticeship? He hasn't hit that yet, so...
No, he's 23 years old, so it's still a bit to go for Zach. And there's also the fact that Dan Gorringe might be challenging a bit for a spot, who was a fairly high draft pick, I think. So he only had two possessions to halftime in one of the NAB games and got subbed out. I think that's a bit of a concern as well. Mm. And he also plays for the Gold Coast Suns. Not exactly the best team going around.
Yep.
Now.
To the bench. To the bench.
Well, is this the bench, though, is my question. There's been a lot of talk recently about Dan Curry just ousting Gold member, getting rid of him.
And, Gold member, yeah.
And taking over the number one ruck role. Is that something that could happen? I think you said before you probably don't see that happening.
Yeah, we played Giles at R2 last year. And while I really did like it for the point scoring value on ground, it really started to hurt when your ruck stocks get tested. Now, I don't think Curry's strong enough for selection. Giles was number one ruckman in the new team. I don't think Curry is strong and presents strong enough an option to take a similar risk, considering I have first-hand experience of how much it sucks to not have adequate depth. And the Supercoach winner from last year,
he made it very simple for us last week. We said, why did you pick Giles on your bench instead of on the ground like everyone else? And he said, because I wanted cover on that line.
And he won Supercoach. So I think Curry, not strong enough to even be considered in the same category. I'd have him.
If Goldstein was injured, maybe think about it. Yeah. Because he looked like he would be clearly number one ruck. And he had a great season at the Sandful last year. But good bench option.
Yeah, great. Great bench option. So welcome to the team, Curry.
Now, what have you thought of the excitement machine, Magic Doran? As soon as we talked about Goldstein and Curry and they got Petrie already relief rucking, is Dora even going to get any games this year?
He'll get games, I think.
I think it's a bit of a toss-up between Magic Dora and Jared Witts from the Pies for that extra bench spot if you're not going for a dual-position eligible player. And it's just a bit of a toss-up. Witts is behind Jolly and Lynch, and maybe Hudson might even be getting a game before him. I'd expect Witts to maybe get a game here or there, and probably the same with Dora. Neither of them are going to be reliable options.
Yeah.
Sam Rose looked all right, though, as a ruck forward option. I've personally, because I'm looking at maybe taking like a Cox Ryder sort of approach in the ruck, so I put Rowe on my forward bench, so then I can sort of link that in later.
But when we mentioned Sam Rowe, I did mention I hoped he wouldn't do too well because I want him as a downgrade target the same purpose that Mark's highlighted. So probably wouldn't start him just because he's an easy guy to downgrade to and to flip a ruckman either way. I think that's it, Mark. We went through that rather quickly.
So I think you're looking at Cruiser and Cruiser on your ruck.
Yeah, Cruiser and Cruiser and Cruiser and Cruiser. Claiming it.
Taking all the number one draft picks.
Claiming it.
I'd have Cox. I'd have Ryder up there. I think you've convinced me of McAvoy a little bit tonight.
Oh, yes. I made progress with Mark. That's always something to celebrate.
I wouldn't mind taking a punt on Mumford either. Like, I think that's a big gamble.
Mumford over Cruiser for you.
No, I'm just thinking that if I was going to gamble, Mumford could have a very big ceiling, outcome for a very small price.
We thought 125 is a very distinct possibility for Mumford. So
that just shows we were on drugs last preseason, maybe, mate. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I think if he manages a full preseason, full season on park, you could average 120. I still maintain that. I just too worried it's not going to happen. And he has a bad injury and suspension history.
He's been injured in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's just too much.
Yeah. But potential for 30 PPG improvement, not bad. I think I have Cox for mine in one spot. At the moment, Cruising the other. But to be honest, I love Ryder because of the ruck forward, and I think he's definite for, you know, at least pretty damn close to top six highest averaging forwards at the very least, and therefore is a great selection.
Big year for the Bombers.
That is a potential too. And McAvoy, I think, is probably the other one that's contending for mine.
Interesting, because I think you've had McAvoy on your side before.
Yeah, I actually have. And I've seen how well he scores around the ground. Yeah, I just watched him enough to know that it wasn't just like St. Kilda were doing well, was getting points or anything. He's a genuinely talented ruckman, one of the premier ruckmen in the competition. The only concern was Cozzy seemed to be taking away a bit of his scoring at one point, but I think the Cozzy factor is becoming less and less, and therefore McAvoy will get better and better. McAvoy could quite easily average 120 in a season, I think. So,
all right, so I hope we've helped you with the ruck dilemma this year, because I can tell you, much like last year, most of the discussion this summer has been over the rucks, because it's just been a bit of a dilemma and it's not clear who the options are. So hopefully we've provided a little bit of clarity for you. Get on to our site, check out the blog, comment on the podcast section if you have any thoughts on what we've talked about today. Sign up to the forum. You can win $1,000 for signing up to the forum and joining our Supercoach group. That's pretty cool.
Yep. And Facebook and Twitter, keep in contact. We'll catch you guys soon.
See ya.